Welcome to History in 6, a place where we sample history in 6-minute increments. I'm your host, Team Lindell. Today we're going to finish our discussion of John Winthrop. Time is short, let's jump into it. John Winthrop was one of the key political figures of the early colonial days in New England. As such, historians have various and sharply divided takes on Winthrop's civic methods. George Bancroft in the 1830s depicted him as a pioneer in creating representative government in America. Brooks and Charles Adams emphasized his authoritarian character and his propensity to persecute his opponents. They blamed him for the bigotry that would eventually lead to the witch hunts in Salem. Edmund Morgan argued that Winthrop's magistracy was a continuing struggle to create a Christian utopian society, one that would prevent the separatist impulses which were so strong in New England from undermining the necessary responsibilities of governing. Winthrop was attempting to utilize the colonists' sense of righteousness to the cause of social justice. Perry Miller and Elliot Morrison in the 1930s stressed that Winthrop was a religious man first, and his political philosophy was a projection of his Christian beliefs. They painted a picture of New England as a type of theocracy, a government that was trying to conform to Christ's teachings. They were attempting to resolve the conflicts between biblical teachings and the needs of government. For me, Miller and Morrison's take feels probably like the closest to the mark. Winthrop's career and views raised fundamental issues that have reverberated throughout American history and its political discourse. Where does freedom end and authority begin? What's the role of government? How should one combine the need for justice with the Christian virtue of mercy? And there's no doubt that Winthrop thought deeply on these issues. He wrote about his struggles in his journal as he tussled with these thorny issues. He regarded himself as a man chosen by God and the people to create a new civil society, a society driven by his religious beliefs. And he prayed earnestly to discharge this mandate virtuously. But his political theory was clear. Men had a liberty not to do as they wished. That was for the beasts. Man needed to distinguish between good and evil, which could only be accomplished by studying God's commands in the Bible. But once they're known, do only what is good. If by God's grace you were given this liberty, you had a responsibility to obey the divinely sanctioned authority. In Massachusetts, freemen chose their rulers. But once chosen, the magistrate's word must be obeyed. It was the divine law as well as man's. And if his commands were not just and honest, his authority was not genuine. Man was sinful and struggled with his sinful nature, which meant that sometimes magistrates had to exercise mercy and forgiveness. Yet persistence in sin had to be dealt with ruthlessly. At the same time, the people should forgive magistrates for their occasional errors of judgment. But if these errors were to persist, then the people had a right to remove the magistrate. At least he was consistent in noting the persistence, if not in the application of it. At the same time, Winthrop himself claimed he was freely elected governor of the colony 4 times, and that he was the embodiment of representative government. And really, he did. He implanted the system of government firmly in American soil. At the end of 20 years of his leadership, the colony had been built from nothing to a body politic which was showing signs of maturity. It was beginning to balance the needs of authority with the needs of liberty. What is interesting about this time period is how remarkably argumentative and socially conscious the people were during Winthrop's rule. In many ways, it reflected the civil war that was raging in England during this time period, where the battle between the monarchy and those who favored rule by the people. Which meant that during this period in history, both England and the colonies were trying to figure out the best means for people to be governed. No doubt a turbulent political period in history, but one that would lead to some of the most successful governments ever formed. One final note before we get out of here. The success of the Bay Colony would not have been possible without the sheer space that America afforded. There was a liberty in America's vast size, a luxury the English and other European countries did not have. The constraints of small European countries made dissent a danger, conformity a virtue. And it was one of the primary reasons why the English settlers came to America in the first place. You know, a man could stand on Cape Cod, see the vastness of the ocean which separated himself from all of the troubles of England, and he could turn around and see the immensity of what was largely undiscovered and unexplored land. I mean, heck, it wasn't until the 1900s that the interior of America was fully discovered. And this was known to the colonists on this new continent. If they didn't like the system of government they found on the coast, they could, if they had the courage, to move to a different place in the New World. The only thing stopping them from obtaining whatever level of liberty they desired was their own fear. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.